Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eric, and with me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello, everyone.
And we have a jam-packed show for you this week. If you thought all out there was nothing but a sea of Sigmar, there actually was some breaking news for 40K fans that Ray and I are going to go over in greater detail. We also had two large tournaments and venerable ones that have been around for quite some time, the Boise Cup, as well as the Flying Monkey GT, one of the cooler names out there when it comes to tournaments. And of course, we got your usual ITC top 10 roundup, which we've seen a little bit of movement again this week, as well as your ITC events for next week. So just as a quick preview, Ray, what changes have we discovered from 40K from this past week?
They released the FAQ for the Imperial Knights, and they also released an index updating the Renegade Knights.
So Renegade Knights got an index, like you said, a small one. Won't be seeing a full-fledged codex for quite some time, but it's a little more than the indexes we got at the beginning of 8th edition.
Yeah, it's kind of an upgraded version. It's got a little bit more than just your standard points and profiles.
I think they got a warlord trait, a couple stratagems, and some relics. Is that what else they got?
I seem to remember one. Well, I'll pull that up once we start discussing further.
So a lot of excitement, definitely, and also some big changes to how you build a knight army. And the thing I thought was most interesting about that big change was right after it, Games Workshop simply said, yeah, we sent the codex to print before we did the FAQ. So here's the update based on what we learned from the FAQ. Have at it and enjoy. Major game changer when it comes to involving knights. And also, yours truly got a game in versus Knights with the new Codex and learned quite a bit. Kind of relate that back to our discussion from the last two episodes regarding primaries and secondaries in the ITC format. You want to be prepared. It's a different type of battle. So after the break, we'll go over the Boise GT as well as the Flying Monkey GT. We'll be right back, guys.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
All right, gang, we are back. Let's start off with the Boise Cup GT 2018. Looking at your top eight, first of all, a quick honorable mention, friend of the show, Thomas Hegstrom Oki, came in ninth place with Blood Angel, so just missed the top eight. And Rich Kilton, also friend of the show, came in 10th with Orcs, both just missing the top eight, but nice to see them back on the tournament circuit. Starting with your top eight, though, Michael Snyder comes in eighth with Tyranids. William Farley with Imperial Knights. Yeah, that's right. Imperial Knights have already made the top eight when it comes to a tournament here. By the way, William Farley's team has got the coolest name ever, Fisto Roboto. Sixth place, a tie with William Farley's Christopher Davis, also playing Imperial Knights. Go figure. In fifth place, Keaton Marshman playing, can you guess it, Ray?
Do we have a third knight player in the top eight?
Third knight player in the top eight. And then we go to fourth place. Mr. Hellhound himself, Mitch Pelham with Catagin Jungle Fighters. With Death Guard coming in third place is Caden Humphreys. In second place, we've got Josh Stroll with Drukhari. Yeah, we can't have a top eight without Drukhari anytime soon. But in first place, also playing Astra Militarum, we've talked about him many times. Nice to see his appearance here in the 28th season is Brandon Grant from Team Relentless D takes the top spot at the Boise Cup GT, going a perfect 5-0. So as we mentioned, three knight players making the top eight. Some notable names just missing the type A, getting squeezed out. And the return of Brandon Grant. Haven't heard his name much this year, so glad to see that he's back. So take a look at what does the winning Astra Militarum list look like? Top portion's a little cut off. Looks like it's another battalion. Can't tell you which company doctrine we're using, but he's got a company commander, two company commanders, Primaris Psyker, one unit of one infantry squad of five, one infantry squad of three. I didn't think he could do that. Interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. Now I'm reading it. He's got five infantry squad, and then he's got another three infantry squads of the same thing. There we go. So altogether, he's got, wow, eight squads. So he's probably doing the whole brigade. That's what the part that got kicked off. So he's got eight infantry squads going in there. Five of them are no upgrades whatsoever, and three of them have the Ugulatory plasma gun in them. The elite slot, he's got nine Bulgrins, an Astropath, and a Ministorum Priest. In the fast attack slot, three Hellhounds. In the heavy support slot, two Basilisks with Earthshaker cannons, as well as a heavy weapons squad with mortars. And then on top of that, a super heavy auxiliary detachment with a Shadow Sword with Volcano Cannon. So altogether, 15 command points, 23 drops. So he's definitely not going first. But that's a lot of wounds, a lot of bodies, and then you've got that big metal Shadow Sword, also very difficult to kill as well. So this army definitely preys itself upon board presence. I have to look at the Shadow Sword one more time. I know it has that, you know, the Volcano Cannon's excellent for taking out larger targets, but I'm trying to think what else it has. I guess with all that number of bodies and all those last cannons, I guess it becomes a weight of fire in terms of taking out other opponents. So, but it's a big departure from what Brandon ran last year. He was a Dark Angels player last year.
I guess he's decided that at least for this season, Astra Militarum are the way to go.
I guess so. I mean, he did have gradually sprinkle in some Astra Militarum in later parts of the season last year, but interesting that he's going 100% Astra Militarum. Curious what made him change his mind. So moving on to our second place player, Josh Stroll. He was playing Drukhari, and he made fun of the original name of the Codex, which is the Drukhari list. So he starts off with a Blackheart Spearhead. It's your typical Archon with triple Ravagers, but he also threw in two Razorwing Jet Fighters as well as two Raiders involved in there as well. Then he threw in a Battalion of the Obsidian Rose, two Archons, four Cabalite Warrior Squads of five with a Blaster, and looks like one Void Raven Bomber. Interesting. Lots of aircraft in this one. Then follows it up with a Prophet of the Flesh Battalion involving two Homoculus, all with Electro-Corrosive Whips, three units of eight Racks, and two units of five Scourges, all with Shredders. So there's an interesting discussion whether the Ravagers and the Razor Wings are almost interchangeable when it comes to firepower. The Ravager gives you, of course, the ability to hold objectives, whereas the Razor Wing gives you more speed and the minus one to hit. So you may argue that this guy actually has five Ravagers in his list. But the addition of the Void Raven, we're seeing that a little bit more and more often these days. Second or third week in a row, we've seen a Void Raven make it to a top Dark Eldar list. I know I've been a big fan of Scourges with Shredders. That's a very potent way to thin herds, especially when you have like large screens in front of you. So I don't know. I look at this and it's an interesting list. I definitely like the extended range on some of the blasters that the Cabalite Warriors have. Interesting ideas. So obviously he did well. He won his first two games, lost his third game, and then won the fourth and fifth game to round out the second place spot. And then if rounding out our top third here, Caden Humphreys was playing Death Guard. His list, well printed, easy to read. I like these. He starts off with a detachment, so a whopping five command points to start. Two Chaos Lords, then followed by, my gosh, they do live. a unit of Plague Marines, each with mostly bolt guns, but he also added two Blight Launchers and then two squads of Cultists. And 40 points he doesn't list. How many are in the unit? I think that's probably like a squad of 20. Then in the Elite slot, he's got Death Shroud Terminators. He's got Foul Blight Spawn. He's got two of those, actually. And then a Hellforge Predator. And then in the Heavy Support slot, looks like he's got Plague Burst Crawler, Hellforge Scorpius, as well as another Chaos Predator.
All right. Interesting add-in.
Mm-hmm. Then for my second attachment, he adds an Auxiliary Support Group, and that gives him Ahriman. And then his third, who is a super heavy auxiliary support, he adds in Mortarion.
Of course.
I have to say, I've been using that auxiliary unit in my list design a lot more lately. So lately, with the buff in command points that came from the FAQ, suddenly that minus one penalty doesn't look as looming as it did in the past. So I'd rather take the minus one to the command points than take the, you know, 200 odd points in troops that I just need to unlock the battalion for. So even a patrol needs a patrol troop slot. So I'm like, ugh, okay. So I'm actually glad to see this list make it to the top three. A lot of units we don't normally see, especially the Plague Marines and the Death Shroud Terminators, all good units, just never quite make it to the table. So a little groundbreaking there. All right, as we talked about, not one, not two, three Imperial Knights make the top eight. Let's take a look at what they look like. So with Keaton Marshman, his Imperial Knight list looks like the following. He starts with a battalion. Looks like it's Adeptus Mechanicus with two Tech Priest Engineers.
Of course.
Two units of Skitarii Rangers, one unit of Skitarii Vanguard.
Okay.
And then he rocks in the Super Heavy Detachment. He adds, he's going to be House Tyrannus. He's got an Exalted Court, as well as an Heirloom of the Household. So he's got a little extra relics there. So he starts with an Armiger Knight, all with heavy stubbers. Then he's got a Knight Castellan, and that's the one he made the Exalted Court member. The two Surgebreaker Cannons and two Surgebreaker Missiles.
Okay.
He then adds a Knight Paladin with a Rapid Fire Battle Cannon with Heavy Stupper, and then a Knight Warden with an Avenger Gatling Cannon with Heavy Flamer.
Okay.
So, you being the Knight aficionado, what do you think of this list?
I remember the first time I started talking about this list with some people that you want the extra command points and just putting in a battalion of something else. You know, guard being the cheapest way to go, but more and more it became obvious that if you're going to do it, you want ad mech because of those engine seers. They can heal the wounds on your knights. So you could have each one gain each one heal a wound on your knight. Makes it last that much longer, actually. And of course you have to have the bare minimum of a patrol anyway, so that's two HQs and three troops. So you do that, and then you maximize what you're going to do with the knights. Does it say which melee weapon the Warden and the Paladin have?
Let's take a look here. The Paladin has a Reaper Chainsword. And then the Knight Warden has also Reaper Chainsword.
Okay. For the most part, they probably went with these so that they could have a knight that shoots while not necessarily paying for, you know, any of the crusaders that have the double shoot. They're more expensive. The sword and the fist are there's a 5-point difference. I think you could argue which one you'd go with more, but most people aren't really a huge fan of the gauntlet, the fist.
Now, is that the one where they use a stratagem to start grabbing people and throw them around?
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be, yeah.
That being said, I guarantee their attack of choice is still going to be titanic feet.
That's still, yeah, I would agree with that too. But every now and then you get that opportunity. Pick up some model and throw it at a character and hopefully take them out.
Yeah. As far as the weapons go, your Knight Paladin's probably going to be focusing on small units. The Warden's probably going to focus a little bit more on the larger size units with its 12 shots. That thing can take out a unit of Primaris Marines pretty easily. And if it's not Primaris Marines you're going up against, you got two, either, you know, you're shooting 12 times with two wound shots, so you're still doing fairly good. That flamer will help out for when you get charged. As far as one thing that's kind of interesting is the Castling. It's still too early for me to say which one we're going to see more as far as the Dominus classes go. But having the choice of the Castling definitely makes me think that that's going to sit in the back for the most part, and everything else is going to move forward. It's definitely got range for the most part. Its large guns both have a fairly decent range. Let me double check what that range is. It's
You talking the Siege Breaker or the Rapid Fire Battle Cannon?
No, the Volcano Lance. That's got an, I think it's 80 inches.
Jeez. Yeah.
The Plasma Decimator is about 48. So you don't have to be very close. I mean, the only thing that's not going to have a far range on him is the Melta guns. So that's going to, you know, you might have that a foot forward from the back of your table edge, but it's going to still probably be something you're going to keep in your, if not completely in, you know, your backfield, not too far forward. It's easy to forget that while they have a 3+ attack, they start off with a 4+. They've got a 3+ ballistic skill. They've got a 4+ weapon skill to begin with. So they're definitely meant to be shot with. The other knights, your paladin and your warden, those are going to be more for the, you know, a little bit of both. A little bit of shooting, a little bit of close combat. The Helverin, which is the armor guard, sounded like you mentioned. That's going to be he's going to use that mainly for shooting, but he's going to want to have that moving for mobility. You know, it's got that 14-inch move to begin with, and that'll help you get some of those further objectives quickly, you know, in the first turn or two.
Yep, he's got plenty of long-range firepower to lay down field, so make you think twice. Am I shooting the small knight coming down the field, or do I shoot the big guys? So,
also, you said that they are Tyrannus. Is the knight house they went with?
Correct.
Yeah, so they've basically got a 6+ feel no pain style save. That's their household tradition. Does it mention what relics they chose?
It does
okay.
not.
Okay. So, I don't know if they took it, but one of the better ones that they took, that you can take for being one of the Mechanicus groups, is it replaces the Plasma Decimator on the Castellan. There we go. It is Call's Wrath. It's got the 48-inch range, and it is either heavy 2d6, strength 8, minus 4 AP, and 2 damage. Or if you supercharge it, it's heavy 2d6, strength 9, minus 4 AP, and 3 damage each. Now, in this case, when attacking with the weapon, if it's supercharged, each roll of a 1 will cause you to suffer a mortal wound. And that's a little bit better than the Decimator itself. The standard Decimator, it's got the same range of 48 inches. It's 2d normal is 2d6. It's strength 1, minus 3 AP and 1 damage. Supercharged, it's heavy 2d6, strength 8, AP minus 3 and 2 damage. So what you're doing is you're replacing it with a weapon that's always got the stats for supercharged with one better AP, and when it's supercharged, it's just a little bit better.
Yeah, especially now in the supercharge phase, when they roll ones to hit, are they just taking a mortal wound, or how does that work with knights?
One, and that's after the shots have been resolved. So,
interesting. Okay. So, that regard for that list, so we got a lot of firepower. So, it sounds like more of a stand back and shoot list as opposed to.
To an extent, I still am fairly certain that his warden and paladin are gonna. He'll have no problem putting those into combat if he's got to.
Fair enough. As we mentioned, we had multiple knights in the top eight. So, that was Keaton Martian. So, we're going to look at Christopher Davis's list. And, as Ray mentioned, this was, again, has a little bit of friends attached to it to build up some command points. This time, it went with guard. So you got a company commander. Actually, looks like... Company commander character and a primary psyker. And then three squads of five infantry squads, two of them with mortars, a Lehman Rice battle with battle cannon. Interesting with all these knights. You had to take a Lehman Russ. Okay. And he follows that up with a Imperial Knights detachment. He went with House Terran again. He took a Crusader in the HQ slot. Another Errant. Two Errants. An Armature. And then two Armatures as well. So both Armatures have the Thermal Cannon.
Two Knight Errants and then two Armiger. Which ones?
Two Armagers. He's got with Reaper Cannon and Thermal. It's cut off there. What's the Thermal? The big belt of gun.
For the Armagers?
Both. Yep.
So it's probably got the Thermal Spear and the Chain Blade. Whichever name they call that one, I can't remember.
Okay. That looks like right. It's a little cut off there. Okay. And then the two Errants each have. The thermal
spear. That's the name of their Melta gun.
Okay. Followed by a Reaper chainsword and a stubber, and then the other errant is thermal spear, then a thunder, I think that's the fancy claw thing. And then a heavy stubber as its backup weapon.
Was this House Tyrannus again? Was that what you said?
House Terran, actually.
No, this one's House Terran. Okay. They did update how command points are going to work for the knights. That's part of the FAQ. But you got to remember, just for having a battalion, you get 5. Being battle forged, just another 3. So that's 8 to begin with, right there. Prior to FAQ, it's the way he's got his army built. He'd get another 3 for that. So that would be 11 just there, pre FAQ. House Terran, so when determining the distance that a unit with this household advances, you can roll an additional d6 and discard the lowest result. Oh, and that also includes if they charge.
That could be rather handy.
Did they select any relic?
Now that's on the list, so that might be game-by-game decisions. Not sure.
So they actually have access to one that's fairly useful. And that's actually the Banner of Macarius Triumphant. And that basically says that if the objective of the bearer is within range of an objective marker, it basically becomes objective secured. and it counts as 10 models. So if someone's got, you know, a squad of Space Marines that maybe, say, there's 9 of, and it's up there close enough to the marker, and so is the Knight. The Knight counts as 10, so the Knight has it secured.
It's pretty nasty, that game. Yeah. That little move was pretty pivotal in our game that we had over the weekend with Knights. I was able to pop that on one of my objectives, and I was like, how do I shift him off of this? So
yeah. For his Crusader, did he have the rapid-fire battle cannon, or did he have the thermal cannon?
Hang on one sec. I've skipped ahead to the next list. Crusader, he's got the Gatling cannon, Iron Storm missile launcher, melt a gun, and then he has something like fire battery or something like that. I'm not sure what that is.
Okay, the Iron Storm is one of the carapace weapons that sits on top.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Looks like he bought the missile. The Iron Storm missile looks like a 16-point upgrade.
Yeah, I can never remember which one that is off the top of my head. The Iron Storm. I think the Iron Storm is probably the better one of the two right now.
All right, look at the next one.
Yeah.
All right, William Farley, Team Fisto Roboto, rounds out our three entries into the top 8 from Knight Households. He also went with Astra Militarum, but took a different approach. He starts with Vestroian Super Heavy Auxiliary Attachment with a Shadow Sword.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. We'll get to that. Let's go with the list first before we start tearing it apart. Then he goes into a Super Heavy Detachment with a Crusader, two Crusaders, and a Knight Gallant. So
okay.
This Knight Crusader comes with Venture Gatling Cannon, Rapid Fire Battle Cannon, Iron Storm Missile Pod with Heavy Flamer and Heavy Stubber. And then his second Crusader, who's the Warlord, comes in with a Gatling Cannon, Thermal Cannon, Iron Storm Missile Pod, Heavy Flamer, and Heavy Stubber.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that a lot of the guns that are on the arms have like a secondary gun on there. So like the Avenger Gatling Cannon has a heavy flamer. There's a heavy stubber connected with the rapid fire battle cannon, things like that.
So wide variety here. I mean, you see that we got three basic knight lists in the top 8 and very different, not just from knight loadout, but also what allies are being brought with them. Interesting, we're not seeing them run solo. They're definitely bringing some friends along to balance some command points, but
I'm going to be completely honest. In this last list, it sounds like the guy might be running the Shadow Sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
He might be using that because he doesn't have a Castellan. If memory serves, that's the one that's got the Volcano Cannon, which is very similar to the one weapon on the Castellan.
It's possible. I don't know. You know, maybe it's just kind of they found something in the Shadow Sword, but I agree with you, model-wise, they might have it, but I don't know. Never know. It seems like there's millions of Knight models lying around on people's shelves, and they're all coming out in unison to take on the tables.
Yeah, definitely.
So that rounds out our Boise Cup coverage. As we mentioned, another big event from the following weekend was the Flying Monkey GT. Just love saying Flying Monkey. I don't know why. So without any further ado, let's go over your top 8. So in 8th place with Nurgle Demons is Jason Barrow. 7th place, Richard Windau with Tau Empire. You might remember him. He won the Midwest Conquest just a few weeks ago. In 6th place, Joe Coolis with Nurgle Demons. 5th place, Troy Graber with Cadian Shock Troops. 4th place with Drukhari, Dan Sammons. In 3rd place, Alexander Kewen with Alatok. In 2nd place, Cycle Thompson with Katajan Jungle Fighters, and then you're number one for the 2018 Flying Monkey GT is Trent Northington, also with Katagen Jungle Fighters. So we talked about Trent Northington several times. Usually does extremely well in big tournaments and does seems to be his foray. But interesting, a complete bout face in lists. As early as 3 weeks ago, he was still playing Thousand Suns. Now he's all about Rambo. So he took a screenshot of his list. And yeah, don't do that. It's all like wavy lines and like all the image refresh lines and all that are all caught on tape.
Oh, did he take a picture of a computer screen?
Yeah, he did.
Ah.
But we will power through. So it starts off with the super heavy detachment with a Knights Castellan. He took the Plasma Destructor, Volcano Lance, two Shield Breaker Missiles, and it's hard to read here, twin Melta Guns, and two Siege Breaker Cannons as well.
So there's really only two variations when it comes to the Castellan that you need to worry about on their list of weapons, and that's either you can have two of the Siegebreaker Cannons and two missiles, or you're going to have four missiles and one cannon. Outside of that, they're all going to have the two twin Melta Guns and then the arm guns. And believe it or not, having the switching out the one cannon for the extra pair of missiles is cheaper.
Huh. I'll have to weigh that out as we see more games come down the pike. So rounding out the rest of Trent's list here, he starts off with a Blood Angel battalion besides the Knigget. This involves Mephiston, Company Commander with, surprise, surprise, Thunder Hammer and Storm Shield. And then he's got a Blood Angel Captain with the same loadout. He's got three units of five scouts. Two of them have a sergeant with a Storm Bolter. He's also got three aggressors with Autobolt Storm Gauntlets. Love that loadout. And then last but not least, he has a third battalion. So the two battalion we just read, the Super Heavy Detachment, and that comes in with the second battalion here. Third detachment. And this looks like to be Imperial Guard. Company commander with Bolter, Primaris Psyker, Ogryn Squad with Bodyguard. Doesn't really say how many. I got to figure that out. Two infantry squads, another infantry squad with a mortar, and then his patented parking lots of hounds. 2, 4, 6, 7 hellhounds somehow stuck into the list. Interesting list. Like I said, this one, you know, 604 points locked into one knight. That is a lot of points.
Still have yet to see how well it can do. I mean, we can see how well an army does, but how well does any one model do?
Right. Well, it was enough to win the event, that's for sure.
Yeah. I bet anybody watching that though would be able to tell us.
Well, if you really want further proof, this is pretty funny because scroll down to the second place, Kyle Thompson. Yeah, he ran the exact same list.
Well, they're from the same team, so they probably worked on the list together to maximize their possibility of getting into the that top spot.
Probably, but yeah, he's got the exact same list. Much easier to read, though.
He was probably smarter about doing the copying down.
Absolutely. All right. In third place, we've got Alexander Kuhn with a three detachments of Eldar. It starts with an Latok Battalion with a Farseer and Autok Skyrunner with Laser Lance and Banshee Mask. Two units of 10 Guardian Defenders, one unit of 5 Dire Avengers with Exarch. Three Wave Serpents to keep everybody safe. Follows that by an Latok Airwing of 3 Crimson Fighters with the Crimson Hunter, Exarchs with Star Cannons, and he follows that up with another air wing of 3 Hemlock Wraith Fighters. So I think that's very interesting. With you've got 6 aircraft, and then most of the army fits inside nicely 3 Wave Serpents. If that doesn't scream, I don't care about your Alpha Strike, then I don't. I just like to see how he keeps track of making sure that the flyers like move off the table and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's kind of the trick nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, it's harder than it looks, because every now and then you get yourself in a situation where you didn't want to be. But yeah, no more of this flying off the table and coming back the following turn. That's not the thing.
Yeah, you get to play Window Screensaver with your flyers.
I liked Atari 2600. It was so much more fun. Come in on the other side.
No more Pac-Man magic tunnels.
Absolutely. Great to see those, a lot of players coming out. Both events doing very well. So after the break, Ray and I will break down the news about Imperial Knights and how to play against it based on these new updates we got from GW. All right, we are back after the break. As you can tell from our tournament wrap-up from the past two tournaments, altogether five Imperial Knights cracking the top eight in two different tournaments. So 16 top spots, five of them occupied by Imperial Knights. What is this, a massive FAQ? What they do? Are they giving the Knights away for free? What is it that's in the exchange and made Knights the new threat that they need to be to the meta? Ray, what do you have in terms of what news on Knights?
All right. So instead of going in order, I'm going to start off with probably the biggest thing. Everybody remembers when the Codex came out that it said that if you wanted to get any command points for running super heavy detachment, you had to have at least three of either the Questorus or the Dominus in any order to be able to do so. And if you didn't have that, you would get zero command points. GW has since changed that. Now, if you have a single Imperial Knight that has the Titanic keyword, they're simplifying it with just using Titanic instead of Questorus or Dominus. But if you have a single one, you get plus three. If you have three Titanic Imperial Knights in a detachment, you get six command points. So that's a big move. Anybody who was running pure Knights before would have had, you know, six command points if they were actually running three large Knights. Now they'll have nine.
That is a huge advantage.
That also means anybody who was not running that, or maybe who had set up their list to have a couple Armagers in there, you know, with maybe just one or two of the larger Knights, will actually get points for that, not just the points for being Battleforged. Huh. The next thing that they basically rotted had to do with the Sacristan Forge Shrine and its ability to do the what they call the ritual of reloading. It now says if it is not, or if it has its full complement of Shieldbreaker missiles, you can choose the ranged weapon the vehicle is equipped with. That's not an heirloom of the Noble House, and what you do with that is... Okay, yeah, that has to do with it allowing the maximum number of shots. It basically is saying that you can't use the rule from the shrine to shoot all of your Shieldbreaker missiles. That's what they're saying there. They're excluding it from the ability of doing the maximum shots when you choose one weapon to shoot at, you know, full capacity.
I see. Okay.
The other bit of errata I thought was nice is they mention an example of a crusading host. It's called the High King Tybalt's crusading host that included a super heavy auxiliary detachment with Sir Hector. It's a bit of a read, but it basically gives you an example of how to get a total of 12 command points using just knights.
No other detachments?
It's multiple detachments. Two super heavy detachments and one super heavy auxiliary detachment. It's actually pretty nice. You know, everybody tends to think that because you're running knights, you're going to be very low on your command point count, but they've been kind enough to give you an example of one that'll help you get up to 12. So just to prove people, you know, hey, you can still do it. So the FAQ portion, can free blades have qualities and burdens even if they're in a, you know, just an auxiliary detachment? They answered yes. They ask about the traditions and whether or not it'll, like Graven's Relentless Advance, whether or not it would suffer penalties on their hit rolls for advancing and firing heavy weapons. They just kind of point out that, you know, it'd be treated as an assault weapon, therefore no. There's not really a lot that they felt the need to change. And the questions themselves, you know, probably fairly straightforward, except for the people who asked them. But the big thing really is the change to the command points. That's probably going to be the biggest thing that's, you know, people are going to remember about this. Is that this is the sheet of paper that says that knights actually get command points. On the same day that they did that, they announced that for free, they were releasing on PDF form the Index Renegade Knights. So they start off, the first thing you see after you get past the bit of lore is, of course, the sheet for the Renegade Knight. It's the old favorite, the Questoris level, the one that everybody knows for having two Avenger Gatling cannons. They haven't really changed that. You can still do that. They did update, at least from what I understand, they've updated the Super Heavy Walker rules. I don't remember if they actually changed that with the Knight Codex or if that was from an earlier change. Then they did the thing that many people were hoping for. They added in the Renegade Knight Dominus. Unlike what they did with the Renegade Knight, you can only have it as a Renegade Castellan or a Renegade Valiant. There's no hybrid version you can make like you could with the Renegade Knight, where you're basically, you know, using spare bits from everything to make your two double Gatling or double Melta or whichever weirdness you chose. They then also added in the Armiger, the Renegade Armiger. Much like the Dominus, you can only have two different equips. One that is basically the Warglaive and one that is basically the Helverin. They added in the points values, of course. Then we get some of the detachment rules. We get the Renegade Knight Lance, which is updated to reflect what the FAQ did for the Imperial Knights. There is the Warlord trait, which is if this Warlord is within range of an objective marker, it will count as 10 models and is basically objective secured. They've got the Relic, which can be taken by a Questoris Traitorus. That, of course, you made a character and your Warlord. That is to subtract one from their leadership characteristic while they are within 12 inches of the bearer. And while they are within 6 inches, you can subtract 2. And then follow that up with exactly 2 stratagems. The first one is rotate ion shields. It is for either 1 command point or 3. And that allows you to improve the invuln by 1 to a maximum of 3. Now, it costs 1 command point on your average Questor Traitorus, and then 3 command points on a Dominus Knight. And then finally, they add for 2 command points the Trail of Destruction. You use this stratagem when a Questor Traitorous unit makes an attack roll in the shooting or the fight phase. And until the end of the phase, you can reroll all failed hit rolls for the unit.
We'll go back after the break. We'll over your current ITC top 10. As mentioned, fair amount of movement among the top 10 players in the ITC as we read them tonight as this recording. So falling two spots, we just talked about him earlier today. Mitch Pelham drops from 8th to 10th place with 556 points, with less than 0.2 of a points of a lead. Ryan Verbeek climbs into the top 10, moving into 9th place. Ryan Olson, who was last week was in 7th place, drops one spot to the 8th place spot, 557 points, and has a mere 1 point lead over Ryan Verbeek as well. So 8th, 9th, and 10th, all within 1 point of one another. 7th place, John Lennon. We talked about him last week. He's got a nice comfortable lead of 23 points over Ryan Olson. In 6th place, TJ Lanigan, 585 points and a 2 point lead over John Lennon. One of the local guys has climbed back into the top 10. Not Don this week, but in 5th place is Danny Oliveres. He is, gotta get that last name correct. He's sitting at 588 points in a mere 2 point lead over TJ Lanigan. 4th place holding steady for, I take that back. He dropped down a spot. So dropping down one spot from 3rd to 4th place is Jeff Robinson from Frontline Gaming. Also a mere 1 point lead over Daniel. And then jumping up two spots is Nick Gower. So interesting to see Trugari making the top 10. If you talked about a Trugari player making top 10, and just a single event, it'd be unlikely. But no, we got a Trugari player in the top 10 for the ITC season with 590 points. Your top two, unfortunately, still the same. A 40-point lead over Nick Gower is Josh Death. And in first place, still hanging tight with 691 points. None other than Matt Rutt holding down that top spot. He's again going to be very difficult to catch. He's got a 61-point lead over Josh Death and then a 101-point lead over Nick Gower in third place. But that whole group there is right on top of each other because, as I said, between fourth, fifth, sixth place, 4 points are separating that. And then in the bottom part, 8th, 9th, and 10th place, 1 point pretty much separating all players involved. So looking ahead to next week, Ray, what events do we have in the ITC for next weekend?
All right, we got two GT or higher level events happening this next weekend. The first one is the Red Rock Exterminatus 3. That's at Game Haven in St. George, Utah. The second event is the Sidewinder GT. It's happening at the Military Gamer Supply in El Paso, Texas.
We've got lots of friends at both events. Big shout out to our friends from El Paso for their event at Sidewinder GT. And we talked a lot about our friends from the show at the Boise Cup. So they're going to be hosting their own event there in St. George, Utah. Good to see that. A lot of top players. There's some more movement in the ITC top 10. Of course, as more news breaks during the week, look for it on our Facebook page. Until then, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
Thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.